This is your KDNK local newscast for this Tuesday morning, September 6th. I'm Steve Cole, live in our Carbondale studios with News Director Gavin Dahl. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be back. Town of Basalt holds a special meeting tonight at 6 p.m. They will continue discussion on two proposed special election ballot items this November, seeking authorization to incur debt related to the acquisition of property owned by the Roaring Fork Community Development Corporation, and related to the design and construction of the Basalt River Park Improvement Project. Garfield County Board of Commissioners get underway with a regular work session at 8 a.m., and then the general agenda starts after lunch at 1 p.m. Town of Snowmass Village meets today at 4 p.m. Three candidates qualified for the ballot in the race to be Carbondale's next mayor. I sat down with Soper's Sun correspondent, John Colson, to survey the landscape and talk about his article in the current issue of the paper. John Colson, Soper's Sun correspondent, joins me now to talk about Carbondale's mayor's race. Thanks for speaking to KDNK.
Well, thanks for having me.
So August 29th was, in fact, the deadline to submit nominating petitions to the town clerk. And there are three candidates for mayor in Carbondale this year.
Yep. Only those three submitted petitions. And the petitions were deemed sufficient by town clerk Kathy Derby. And so we got a three-way race.
It's pretty interesting, and it gets a little complicated because Dan Richardson and Katrina Byers are current members of council. Dan Richardson is the mayor pro tem and acting mayor.
Yes.
And Ed Cortez is a former member of the Board of Trustees.
Yes.
So if Richardson or Byers win, their seat will need to be filled. But if either of them lose, they just stay on the council.
Right.
So it gets a little more confusing from there.
Of course.
We have the...
It's Carbondale.
We have the A.J. Hobbs seat, which is currently up for an appointment. The board decided to appoint someone with the argument that it was going to be in time to help with the budget process.
Right.
And that waiting for the general election would slow down the progress of the trustees getting help from this new candidate.
They also probably are very aware of the fact that with a six-person board, tie votes are not only possible, but in some cases likely. They just experienced that. They had two tie votes, and so two proposed actions didn't happen.
My understanding is, at the last council meeting, only four of the six candidates for the open seat on the council were interviewed.
Yes.
So that means that we're waiting all the way until the September 13th meeting for the other interviews to be conducted in public. And the last I heard, they're planning to decide that night who to appoint.
That's Dan Richardson's thinking, at least tentatively. I talked to him about this, and he said that he would be very content to make a decision that night. It depends on the rest of the board, though. And he's pretty good at not trying to sort of ram his own agenda through. If enough people feel that something he thinks should be done is maybe not a good idea, he backs away. There's a chance they may make a decision that night, but there's a chance they may not.
While there are several women in leadership in the town government at the staff level, there is just one woman on the current town council. That's Katrina Byers. And so it was interesting to note that the majority of the folks who offered themselves as options for this appointed seat are women. Of those six candidates, I believe five out of six are women. And so that was one thing I thought was sort of interesting. Given some of the conversations of these past couple of meetings, it seems clear that A.J. Hobbs, the departing trustee, and Katrina Byers feel that women's voices are not sufficiently represented on the current board, that there's been some complaint that it seems a bit of a male-driven agenda. It doesn't seem like that's played out in any clear policy-making way, but this came to the head with the discussions around the recent assaults against women in town and some debate about whether or not enough was being done to address this.
Or just enough attention being paid to it. That was the complaint of a couple of the women who spoke that night, that the trustees basically are just blowing it off or shining it on till some later date. I don't actually have that same impression. I think that the Board of Trustees has a process that it has to go through. And Dan Richardson, anyhow, is a very strict adherent to process. He likes things to go in a well-modulated way and for decisions to be thoroughly discussed before they're taken. So I think that they all the trustees care about this issue and want to do something, but they're not willing to act in any sort of precipitate fashion.
So Ed Cortez, one of the candidates for mayor, has been joining this chorus of criticism.
The night that he showed up at the trustee meeting and publicly sort of affirmed that he is running for mayor, because he'd said so earlier, but that night he came down real hard on the side of the women who were objecting to the town's perceived lack of action.
So he told you that stepped up police patrols and other measures should be paid for out of the town's reserve funds, and that if he were on the board now, he would have immediately already put that into place.
Yes, he said if he were mayor, he would immediately put that into place. In my experience, nothing in government happens immediately, especially if it involves spending money.
One more question I want to ask you. It seems like if only, say, 850 people voted in the mayor's race in 2010, and we know we have a growing population somewhere north of 6,500 at this point.
Yes.
Do people care who the mayor is?
Gee, you know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure how to answer it. I think that that year in particular, 2010, was a low turnout year.
Sure.
And we have had since a couple of elections that were much higher turnout, well above the 50% range. So I don't think you can really conclude from it that people don't care, but it may be something like they're just too confused to figure it out, and they don't think that their voice is all that necessary, that Carbondale is fine, and whoever wins elections will run it just swell.
For those of us who pay closer attention, we hope that you, dear listeners, will too. John Colson, Soper Sun correspondent. Check out his latest in the current issue on Carbondale's mayor race. Thanks so much for speaking to KD&K.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're working on putting together an issues forum or a debate with the candidates for mayor in Carbondale. More on that as it develops. For KD&K News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Colorado is still the leanest state in the country, according to a new report from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Penta Brooklyn reports.
Colorado's obesity rate is just over 20%. While it's the lowest in the country, it is twice as high as it was in the 1990s. Don Schwartz is the vice president for programming at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
As more and more people become obese, people get used to the weight of others. Like children in classrooms, look around and see a large proportion of other children who look like them, we lose sight of what it means to be obese and what it looks like to be obese.
Schwartz says this year's report points to some good news. Most states like Colorado have held steady compared to the previous year. And for the first time ever, four states, Minnesota, Montana, New York, and Ohio, saw reductions in obesity rates. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.